face on the water, lips like sugar, lips like sugar.
Hello, everybody. Hey, Stephanie.
Well, hey.
You know, I chose this song because Charlotte Clymer was supposed to be our guest. But I don't know what happened because she's kind of MIA. I'm a little concerned. I don't, you know, I don't know if something happened because she confirmed
something
yesterday.
Yeah.
So she confirmed yesterday and she retweeted the fact that she was going to be on the show. So we haven't heard from her. So we're just going to have to move forward without her and we'll see what happens. So hopefully nothing is wrong. And, you know, we'll just have to follow up and see what happens.
Right. I mean, it's bizarre. She was so excited, retweeted, yeah. Blah, blah, blah. I mean, we were psyched, but we'll see, you know.
Yeah, hopefully nothing's wrong. So let's just hope
exactly.
Everything is okay.
Correct.
But anyway, so moving on, we just had an election. Woohoo, blue wave.
Yeah, whoa. You know what I love? Can I just say, let's take a moment and bask in the glory of what the Democratic Party and we, because we make up that party, what we achieved as a group. All right? I don't want to hear, you know, the folks on TV, on all the news talk programs, oh, well, it wasn't really a blue wave. It was more like a ripple. Kiss my ass.
Yeah, go kiss Nate Silver's ass, too, because he put up, it's a blue wave. They don't, they're just being ridiculous. They like to shit on Democrats.
They're just being ridiculous.
But you know what? Wait, before we get into our big bulk thing, I don't want to forget to remind people, it's been a while. We haven't done a show for a while. I think the last time we did a show, I think we either had we were supposed to do a show and then we had a cancellation. So we just decided to roll it over into this month. So anyway, we're just saying, hey, could you support the show? You can go.
Oh,
to
yeah, we would love it.
Support. You can visit patreon.com/startmeup and mm-hmm. you can become a subscriber a patron for any dollar amount, whether it's $1, $5 get you into and another thing, which is where Steph and I have private conversations about sex and we use even maybe more profanity than we do on the main show.
You should hear us when we're off mic.
Anyway, just, you know, whatever you like, however you'd like to support us, that would be great. So
right.
There you go.
We do appreciate it. We put some effort into this stuff and hopefully it brings you joy. Can I share something real quick, Kimberly?
Yeah.
That lovely direct message I got from @TGC comb over.
Oh yes. Comb
saying,
over. Hello.
You know, it just, I loved it. It just came out of nowhere. And they said, hey Steph, just wondering when you and Kimberly were going to put out an election recap. I absolutely love the enthusiasm you've had over the past 2 years. Really looking forward to the podcast. And I wrote back and said, wow, what a wonderful note. Thanks so much. And we're doing it today, baby.
Yes. Thank you so much for that awesome message.
That was really
message.
Sweet. That, yeah. That, you know, that it makes me happy to know that there are folks who look forward to hearing what we have to say.
Yeah. And especially, you know what, going back to the becoming a subscriber, becoming a patron, you know, I think I said before I lost my Facebook page and I still don't have it back. And I'm trying to find ways to sustain myself. And this show is one of them. So there you
yes.
go.
Yes. Yeah. And you know what? Is this a perfect time for us to talk about this amazing new sponsor we're working with?
Yes.
Okay, good. Good. Yay. How was that for a segue? So Kim, if you listen and if you listen to and another thing, you know, Kimberly and I we obsess on certain things.
Mm-hmm.
The foods we eat, the products we use and being clean is something that's important to both of us. When I'm not eating donuts, that is. But truly, putting healthy stuff on our bodies is as important to us as putting healthy stuff in our bodies. And we found Follain. And it's spelled Follain, and it is the most
seriously
amazing.
It's insane.
It's insane. It's insane. Follain.com has the most clean beauty products you will ever find, ever, that I've ever found. I was so happy when they said, hey, we want to work with you guys. They sent us this clean essentials kit to try out, you know, just to show them what they're yeah. made of, right? And inside this beautiful little green canvas bag, which, I mean, I knew that I was going to be in heaven when I saw printed on the bag, I like my products like I like my people, mm-hmm. non-toxic, Folane. Okay, inside the bag, the OC Ocean Cleanser, which is sea minerals and algae detoxifier. I look forward to washing my face at night. It takes off whether I've got like sunscreen or tinted moisturizer or you name it.
And mascara. It totally takes mascara off easily.
Lipstick, it's gone.
And it feels so fresh and clean.
Oh my God. And then I squirt a little bit of the Indy Lee CoQ10 toner on a cotton ball. And like, I'm in heaven. It is a pleasure to get myself
cleaned. I spray it just directly on my face.
I've done that too.
But you know what? I got to say, and I hope I say this right, the Ursa Major Golden Hour Recovery Cream.
Yep.
This is insane. And when I said insane, I meant it. Let me just say that I've used, and I, you know, I've used different products from the grocery store. I've never really completely taken care of my face as I should. But I'm starting to realize the importance of it, because the moisturizer that I've used from the grocery store is thicker. And I figured, I'm getting older, I need a thicker cream. So anyway, this Ursa Major Golden Hour Recovery, I put this on and it's very lightweight. And I thought, it's not going to do. But oh my God, my skin was so soft. I told Bob, I'm like, touch my skin. And he's like, oh my God, it's so soft.
And it smells like heaven. I put my head on the pillow after this regimen and like, I'm already going off into dreamland because it just feels so good to be clean with this beautiful Folane Clean Essentials Kit. There's something else that's in the green pack, and that is a little, a travel bottle of refillable hand and body soap. You can use it everywhere. It is amazing for travel. It's small enough. The bottle itself is refillable. It's clean. I took it to Fresno when I was campaigning for Andrew Jans a couple weeks ago. I didn't have to use the Best Western bar soap. I used the Folane hand and body. It was amazing. So what we want to tell you to do is try this stuff out. You want to go to folane.com/startmeup. Get the Clean Essentials Kit for $22. That's 50% off what it would cost a normal person if you use the Start Me Up promo code, folane.com/startmeup. Shipping is free. Get the Clean Essentials Kit. Tell all your friends, we're not kidding. This is the greatest
not
stuff
kidding.
You will
seriously.
Try. Not kidding.
It is really good. It is some of the best stuff I've ever used. It's cruelty free too.
All of it. It's good from top to bottom. It's toxic. It, you know, we like our products like we like our people, non-toxic. Go to folane.com/startmeup. Get 50% off the Clean Essentials Kit. Do it now. Thank you.
There you go. Alrighty. Okay. So let's get back to these people who are complaining that there was no blue wave.
Right.
First of all, the counts aren't finished. We haven't finished counting. So I remember I watched on, I believe, I'm not sure. I think it was Chris Matthews. I think it, and Peggy Noonan was on, and she's trying to downplay everything, of course, because it's Peggy Noonan. You know, she said, oh, well, this is par for the course. You know, usually the president, when, you know, if the president is, you know, a Democrat, then the Republicans win at least 30 seats and vice versa. Okay, well, it's looking like it's going to be more like 37 to 40 seats.
Right.
And that is with gerrymandering and suppression and threats of a caravan and, you know, all this, these dirty tricks and with, you know, Kemp keeping people from voting, holding back votes. So the fact that we had this blue wave is a big fucking deal. It's a big fucking deal.
Right.
And it's, you know, I mean, it doesn't mean things are going to get so much better. It does mean that we're going to have, finally, somebody's going to hold Trump accountable. He has been going along now for, you know, almost 2 years, and the Republicans have just looked the other way. They've been complicit. They've allowed him to break rules and behave like a fucking maniac. And now he's going to be held accountable, and he knows it. So my take on this is that I believe he's going to get worse. He's going to, you know, I used to call him a caged animal, but he wasn't. He was an animal that could walk around and do whatever the fuck he wanted. Now he is a caged animal and he's afraid because he understands that the writing is on the wall for him, that, you know, he's not going to be able to get away with this stuff anymore. And if he does get Mueller fired, the Democrats are already be like, oh, we're going to subpoena Mueller and we're going to bring them on national television, and we're going to fuck you up, Trump.
It's true.
How about Adam Schiff?
Yeah, he's awesome.
First of all, he was positively glowing on election night. Glowing. Like a bride.
Yeah.
I mean, I saw, like, they're not messing around. Their hands have been tied for 2 years. Mm-hmm. The Democrats in the House, of course, I'm referring to.
Yeah.
And they're just not messing around. Okay, so Adam Schiff, who Lawrence Tribe calls one of his most brilliant students in the history of him teaching constitutional law. Okay, he said he has a mind like a steel trap. Nobody understands the law better than Schiff, and Schiff is in charge. And so when he says, you better watch your ass, Whitaker and Trump and all the rest of you buffoons who think you're gonna get one over on us. No, we're America. The rule of law matters, and we are in charge now.
Yeah.
Okay? And let me tell you what, not only are we already in charge, but can we go through a list of some of the seats, the congressional seats
yes.
that still have yet to be declared? Okay, so last night Josh Harder was declared. Josh Harder is California's district number 10, which is kind of close to where I live. It's Manteca, Tracy. It's been Jeff Denham's seat for years. It's been a red, California red district for years. Josh Harder is a professor at a community college in the area. I actually got to see him speak. He's balls, okay? The dude knows what he's talking about. The dude has a very commanding personality. He speaks very, very eloquently, but he also knows what the people of his district need, and they're not getting it with Jeff mm-hmm. Denham. He won last night. Okay, so that's beautiful. Next up, we've got Harley Ruda, who simply declared that he's the winner. Okay, over Dana Rohrabacher. They're saying that the lead, CNN.com as of today is saying that lead has grown since election night, mm-hmm. but Ruda won
mm-hmm.
because
right, yeah.
all of those uncounted votes are they apparently are quite certainly he's got 52.3%. And Rohrabacher has 47.7. Yeah. So there's really no way Rohrabacher can come back, which is wonderful. Pardon?
I said, ha ha.
Ha ha. Mike Levin just wiped the floor with Diane Harkey, 55-45. That's beautiful. There's one in Georgia that I can't really speak to. Andrew Kim, I think, in New Jersey won, beat incumbent Tom MacArthur, who's a Republican. That was a really tight one, like 0.4%. Mm-hmm. One that there are several others, like Mia Love, the Republican in Utah, mm-hmm. seems to have lost to Ben McAdams, which is wonderful.
You know, it's because she didn't give Trump any love.
Well,
did you hear him say that?
Yeah, he's a douche.
He's such an asshole.
Okay, one other thing that I want to bring up, and this one is near and dear to my heart, as you know. Oh, Katie Porter took the lead, too.
And where is she?
She's in California.
Oh, okay. That's right.
I think she's District 40. No, that's Mike Levin's District 49. I have to look up her district number, but I want to say 29, but don't quote me on that. Mm-hmm. Anyway, it was really tight. She looked as though she had lost on election night, but it has since flipped and she's taken the lead. She'll probably win. So then here's one near and dear to, I think, every Democrat in the United States. Devin Nunes and Andrew Janz.
Yeah.
First of all, let me do a little bit of a backstory on that. I've been campaigning for Janz for well over a year. I started campaigning for Janz when it was him and his campaign manager, period, the end. That was the team. Mm-hmm. Heather Grevin, who is one of the most gifted human beings I have ever had the privilege of knowing. She has spent her entire adult life in politics, which she's still under the age of 30, okay? She took on this campaign with Andrew, saw something in him that so many of us saw. And they started a campaign. They raised $9 million, all from just humans, just people mm-hmm. who said, enough of Devin Nunes not setting foot in the district, not having the people, not...
Uh-oh. Uh-oh. Hello?
Uh-oh.
Oh, you went off for a minute, but now you're back.
Okay. Did you lose me? Because I'm on a freaking rant.
No, go ahead.
Okay. So Nunes has been 8 terms in California's 22. It's red. Lot of farming money. A lot of Latino voters who are just, I think, disenfranchised or don't feel mm-hmm. empowered. And Jan's had a ground team. The weekend before, you know, the last weekend I was out there, there were hundreds of volunteers from outside of District 22, from within District 22 canvassing. The vibe was so strong and people are so behind Jan's. I talked to people face to face who had voted time and again for Nunes and said, enough, we need change. Well, Andrew lost. Andrew got 44% of the vote. However, it was 22 points more than Nunes' best challenger before Jan's came along. Mm-hmm. Now, we found out a couple days ago there were up to potentially 50 to 80,000 uncounted votes, and Andrew only lost by 15,000 votes in that district. So we'll know by 3 p.m. today.
Wow.
Because there's going to be a recount.
Yeah.
We're going to have a definitive answer. And oh my God, I am not giving up hope. Anyhow, we took it, man. We could take 40 congressional seats.
Well, you know,
time.
And
so that is a tsunami.
Yes, and
let's
then
call it what it is.
Let's not forget that more than 100 women are going to the House of Representatives. And let's see. What's fascinating about that, I mean, you know, there are, most of them are Democrats. I've heard the argument made, you know, oh well, because, of course, somebody always has to shit on the women are winning parade. You know, like, well, we don't always just want a woman. It's like, well, duh. It's not about gender. It's about the fact that there has been an imbalance in our Congress. So we're just getting it back up. And you know what? I would rather have women who are, you know, even though it was the majority, excuse me, I'm going to cough. Even though it was a majority of Democrats who won. I don't care if some of those women are, or some of those people are women that I don't agree with mm-hmm. on the Republican side. It needs to be balanced. I'm willing to, because it, you know, it's like switch one out. You've got a man who's against women's rights. You got a woman who's against women's rights. Either one I don't like, but I still want a more fair and balanced Congress to represent what the people look like. So I'm so sick and tired of people arguing like, you know, This stupid, it's just nonsensical to scream that, oh, you can't just want somebody because they're a woman. That's not the point. That's not the point. Of course, we want people who are qualified. We want people who understand what they're doing. And, you know, if you're a Republican, you may feel that somebody who is anti-choice knows what they're doing. I do not, but that's not me. So, so that's really cool. Although I do kind of want to go off and talk about, and I hope I say her name right. It's Alexandra Cortez or Ocasio-Cortez. Ocasio-Cortez. You know, she went to this protest outside of Pelosi's office, and I don't think that was a good idea. I think that she, first of all, it was her first day of orientation. I think that she should have asked Pelosi to be on the committee instead of doing this protest. And, you know, she had all these, you know, air quote complimentary things to say about Pelosi. And then, you know, so some of these people on Twitter are arguing back, well, Pelosi doesn't seem to have a problem with it. Number one, Pelosi is class. She's class all the way. She's being gracious. She's not going to scream at this newcomer on her first day of orientation, no matter what she does. Of course, she's going to be polite and friendly. But Cortez has to understand that, you know, while she has some big ideas, and I'm not, you know, it's not like I'm against one and for the other. What I am against is somebody who has never done this before and is looking to build relationships and a long, solid career, coming in there protesting the Democrats when we have Republicans that are destroying the country. Her priorities are wrong, and I think that she needs to understand that if she wants to make friends in a Democratic Congress and really get things done, she's going to have to work with these people and not protest them. And so it's really pissing me off to see her start out this way, and especially because the majority of the, you know, Bernie kind of candidates lost. The Democrats who won were not the Bernie progressives. And it's not that they all lost, but, you know, she won in a very blue state. Could she win in Kansas? Probably not. That was kind of the message from the Sanders camp, is that we need you know, bright blue progressives to go into ruby red states and sing their song. Well, that doesn't always work.
Yeah, it doesn't work
when you have, yeah, when you have, it might work if we didn't have gerrymandered districts. It might work if we didn't have voter suppression, because I do think a lot of these red states are really blue states that have been gerrymandered to the point where
bingo.
Yeah. So it's like, so I do get the idea that we, you know, blue ideas sell, but I think that it's a lot harder to sell them in, you know, in a red state, because even Democrats in red states hold more conservative views. And so what we want, the bigger picture, is we want Democrats to caucus with Democrats. We need the majority. We, you know, and all these purists out there don't take that into consideration. And I posted that I was disappointed in Cortez last night, and some guy comes on and he goes, "How dare you, Kimberly?"
It's get like, used like, to
it's
it.
It's like this whole "how dare you" crap. It's like, what? I'm not allowed to have an opinion on Twitter?
Exactly.
Of course I have an opinion. And I'm not
what I want.
Yeah, and I'm not anti-Cortez. She's allowed to make mistakes. She's allowed to she's a newbie, so she's gonna make mistakes. I'm not gonna criticize her or come down on her. I mean, I will criticize her. I'm not going to write her off, I should say. I don't think that it was a mistake or she'll have to prove herself. She's got 2 years to prove herself. If she completely fucks up, she's gonna get voted out, because New York is gonna be like, "Oh no, you didn't." You know, they're not gonna put up with that. I'm for what she's for. I don't know about the abolish ICE thing, but I think we need to fix ICE, maybe not abolish ICE, or, you know, have a better system in place. But, you know, yeah, I'm all for single payer. I'm all for college being free, just like, you know, school up through 12th grade is free unless you choose to go to a school, you know, that you pay for.
Money.
Yeah. I think all of those things and the climate, all of that, I'm for it. So I'm not against what her message is. I'm not happy right now with her strategy on her first day of orientation. Yeah. So I just hope whoever's listening, don't get me wrong on this. Don't run off into an emotional freak out because you don't like what I'm saying. You know, it's like, well, I'm not going to go into an emotional freak out about her, but I am going to be vocal. I'm going to say something. And you don't have to agree with me. We don't have to agree with each other, but don't write me off as some corporate whore, because I'm not playing this time. That happened in 2016. We had the corporate whore, corporate shill arguments. And it's like, just because we're not purists who want the whole cake at once, we realize we have ingredients. We have to put it in the oven. It's going to take some time, you know? And I just want to make one point about this, you know, these corporate whore people, calling us corporate whores because we support quote unquote establishment Democrats. People like to call Obama a centrist. They like to paint him as some kind of corporate whore. Obama got the Affordable Care Act passed. It was not perfect, but it was a starting point. So Republicans have been trying to repeal and replace, or whatever they want to, you know, call it. I don't know how many times, 40, 50 times did they try to repeal it? It never worked. They tried last year. It didn't work. Thank you, John McCain. And now Chris Matthews, a couple of nights ago, basically said, all right, McConnell has said we're not going to fight it anymore because the Democrats aren't going to have it. So long story short, Affordable Care Act is now in place. Now the conversation turns to single payer. So going back to what Obama did, everybody who wanted to call him this big centrist has to understand that he is very much a progressive, because this legislation was progressive and now it's going to progress into possibly single payer. So progress happens over time. You don't always get the whole enchilada.
Incremental.
Yes, you've got to get the ingredients together. You've got to put it, you've got to cook, you've got to get it ready. You don't start with the whole package. So, you know, I mean, I know this is going to be another grueling election season, which is almost already started now. It's really going to officially kick off in January. The presidential, thing is going to start already. It's going to be fucking brutal, because we're going to have the far left screaming about their purist ideas. And the scary and sad thing is I agree with their ideas, I just don't agree that we should, you know, try to get it all at once. I think we have to understand we live in a country with other people. And as much as we don't want the far right to dictate and determine everything, the far left can't either. So there's my little spiel.
Very nice. I'm giving you a standing ovation, although I'm sitting, but in my mind. No, it's true. I agree. And, you know, it's funny. I've heard Valerie Jarrett say the same thing. You know, she was there when Obama and his team and Buffy Wicks, my beloved assembly member, you know, they were in the room. That was a chore of epic proportions, just getting Obamacare passed. It's not perfect, but it's an incremental step toward single payer. And we will get single payer, but not while the Republicans are in office.
No, we're not going to get it. But, it, you know, it's like and, we need and an education the, campaign.
Right. And some say we need it. Let's just do it at the state level.
Yes.
Well, who's going to get that waiver from Trump for California or for, you know, Maryland or where, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's incremental and it's great. It's a step in the right direction. So I think we got to work together. And we have to, you know, it's going to be a long road to hoe. So get used to it.
Yeah.
Right? Like, weren't you, part of me was thinking that we are going to magically just feel so much better on November 7th this year. Like, the 2 years of pain and suffering that we've been looking forward to. And it's like, oh, hell no. Mm-hmm. Now we got to work even harder for the next 2 years. Yeah. While this crazy, unhinged lunatic and his lapdogs in the Republican Party follow him around, back him up, and continue to turn a blind eye to the crimes he's committing against the people of this country. God damn it.
Well, you know, I think that the idea that, you know, I mean, I knew that if we were to take back the House, basically what it is it was a lifeline. It was something that, If the Democrats would have lost the House, or not lost the House, but not, you know, had that blue wave, and the Republicans kept the House, I think that would have been it. We would have just been done. But we got this lifeline, and we, you know, but because the Senate is still Republican, we still have this huge fight on our hands. It's not like we can just, you know, and I'm not happy that we don't have the Senate back. I would prefer having the Senate. But I think that the positive in this is that it will keep us motivated, because when people are comfortable, they stay, they get complacent, they don't vote. They feel like everything's okay, which is I felt what happened in the 2010 and 2014 midterm elections. We had a Democratic president who in my opinion was very progressive, and everybody just thought, oh, well, Obama's president, so whatever. I'm not going to worry about it. They didn't really think about the importance of Congress. So we still have this crazy man as president, and we have crazy people running the Senate. So everybody has to, you know, we're going to see the Senate Republicans basically accusing the Democrats. Like Mitch McConnell put out the statement, are House Democrats going to be working with us? And I basically said, yeah, we'll certainly work with you if you're going to create legislation that helps human beings. If you want to kill Medicare and Social Security, you can fuck right off, because we're not going to help you. Right. And then, of course, their whole argument is that we tried to work with Democrats and they were obstructionists. So I think Democrats have a strong, important job of controlling the narrative. I think we always, the Republicans are great at controlling the narrative, getting ahead of it. And then what winds up happening is the Democrats have to come in from behind and defend. That has to stop. We have to get in front. We have to set the narrative. We have to set the tone. And, you know, I mean, that's easy to say, not so easy to do, when who's going to be doing that. I mean, it's not going to necessarily be me or, you know, or another person who's got a decent sized Twitter following. It's going to have to come from the party. But, you know, from what I see, the Democrats are pretty strong. And I think it's really good that we are seeing such a diverse mix of candidates who won. And I think it's going to make people feel like they still need to fight by the time, because I think it's just going to be a total shit show in 2020. Although getting to 2020, I want to ask you two questions. Number one, do you think Beto's going to run?
I hope so.
Now, I know she already said she's not going to run, but everybody says they're not going to run. What if your only choice for the Dem nomination was Michelle Obama and Beto O'Rourke? Who would you go with?
Okay, I voted on that yesterday.
Uh-huh.
And I voted for Michelle.
Yeah. Well, I would vote for Michelle. And I freaking love Beto. I love
but
him.
But why isn't Beto our VP?
Well, yeah, that could be
that would be the sexiest.
Yes.
Freaking ticket.
Yes, that would make me very happy.
Time.
Although I think my
Obama O'Rourke.
Yes. And I think
I'm in pain. I'm in like delightful pain right now just thinking about it. I'm really tired too.
I think I haven't checked it, but I think Beto got the majority of votes. Either one would make me happy. The thing that I love about him so much is that he's able to take very complicated issues and talk to people about those issues in a way that they can understand. You know, he can talk about healthcare. He can talk about, you know, racial tensions. He can talk about women's issues and reproductive issues. And he's really good at not getting baited into that whole divisive, you know, kind of conversation about the Republicans are bad. And he doesn't do that. All he does is emphasize how much he's willing to work with Republicans and reach his hand across the aisle when there's an opportunity to do so. And when he talks to voters, he doesn't talk to them as if there's a difference in Democratic voters and Republican voters. They're all just people.
Exactly.
Who, you know, who want to.
It's beautiful.
It's like nothing I've ever seen. I mean, obviously, Michelle Obama does that in such a spectacular way. She's so amazing. And I'm not, you know, I think that I don't know if she's going to run. She said she wouldn't. So I'm going to take her at her word. But again, they all say they won't. So,
well, she said, I think I told you I went and saw her last year.
Mm-hmm.
And we were sobbing. Like I went with 5 girlfriends and we were all sitting in a row, like hands, holding hands or like touching each other's knees and just like sobbing at the miracle that she is as just a person. She's so real. So like everything about her is organic. Like it's just, she's funny. She's brilliant. She's grounded. She's decent. She's got the most unbelievable moral compass. Like it was hard to watch someone like that. I'm going to cry. Be in front of us knowing that we don't have that anymore.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's really tragic. So she said to like an audible Oracle Arena filled, I'm not running. Politics isn't my thing. But she just put that book out.
Yeah.
You want to talk about somebody like Beto? Beto. It's Beto.
Beto.
It's Beto.
Beto.
I mean, and I always say Beto because that's how everybody was saying it before when we were just like reading about him. And then we got to hear him and he's Beto.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway. They're the same in that Republicans, Democrats, who cares? We're people. Let's move together towards a common goal.
Yeah. Well, and, you know, I mean, as much as, and I do want to bring Bernie up, but as much as he gets on my fucking nerves right now, he does have the ability to go into those red states and get those people to listen to him. And that's what Beto does. He's remarkable at that. He's really, 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 really good at that. So, but yeah, you know what I think? I'm not sure, and I don't know what Bernie's going to do. Looks like he's going to run. We'll see. But if he does run, I have this theory that he's not going to make it out of the primary. And the reason why I say that is because his whole platform outside of his, or I should say his strategy, like I agree with his platform, which I don't think he explains very well how he's going to get there, but I agree with what he wants.
They don't seem to, but anyhow.
But his strategy is to point his finger at the Democrats and scream that they're not good enough and that they're not strong enough. And that's all been blown to shit because, the midterms just proved that he's wrong. And on top of it, most of the Bernie-crats, as they call them, lost. And and I'm not taking a dance. I'm not doing a jig because they lost. This is without emotion. Their strategy was a losing strategy. In some of those cases, they were in red states. And so obviously there were, blue candidates who weren't necessarily Bernie-crats in red states who also lost, but there were a lot of candidates who did win in red states. Blue candidates who run in red states, and they were not Bernie-crats. So the Bernie-crats lost. Their argument was not a winning argument. Their strategy did not get any, you know, most of their candidates elected. So he can't point to the Democrats and scream that they don't know what they're doing when the Bernie-crats were the ones who kind of lost this time. So there's that. There's also the idea that back in 2016, he had a unique advantage because, A, he was the only candidate running against Hillary. Hillary, who was somebody who experienced, you know, 2 decades of GOP smears, and add to that the Russians who, you know, helped him and benefited him while smearing her. And now we're all aware of this. Now we understand, okay, we were played. I was played. I supported Bernie. And again, it's not that I am against his platform. I just feel like the anti-Hillary crap that came down from Republicans and Russians and these far left progressives, and amplified by Russians, helped to influence my thinking. Obviously not enough to not vote for Hillary, not enough to not understand that Hillary was the most qualified candidate. And as soon as, you know, Bernie lost the primary, not only did I get behind Hillary, I became very enthusiastic about her. And I, like, slowly my eyes have opened to the negative information that I received about her from all over. I started to realize that, you know what, most of it's bullshit. It's just mostly bullshit. And does that mean I think she's perfect? No. Do I want her to run in 2020? No. I think she could have handled some things better. I think she could have handled the Affordable Care Act single payer argument better. But whatever. She did what she did. She basically won. She won the popular vote. But we've all learned now. We've all learned that we kind of got played by Russia. And we all see that Bernard is a little bit of a curmudgeon. And his argument, I just don't think he's going to make it out of the primary. I could be wrong, but I don't think so. I don't think he's going to be the Democratic nomination. If by some chance that happens, I will vote for him. It will not be an enthusiastic vote. I will hold my nose and I will vote for him, but I will.
God, I hope not.
Yeah, but I don't think it's going to be, because now he's going to have to compete with a lot of new players. He, you know, really popular people who have their own energy. You know, I mean, Hillary Clinton obviously came with her own energy, but I think his crowds and his, you know, enthusiasm and everything got the main, you know, like, got the attention because it was new. Hers wasn't new. She's always come with critics. She's always had critics. She's always had that baggage of 20 years of GOP smears. But, you know, here comes Bernie and everybody's screaming, woohoo, look at this. You know, no one expected him to go as far as he did. So that was kind of the news. And now he's going to have the exact same strategy and the exact, I guarantee he won't have a fresh approach. It'll be the same shit. It'll be the oligarchs and the oligarchs and the oligarchs. And the Democrats don't know what they're doing. And none, you know, I mean, he's right on the oligarchs, but I think the Democrats have just proved that they do know what they're doing. So I don't think he's going to make it. I mean, I could be wrong, but we'll see.
I hope not. I really hope not. And I agree with you. I don't want Hillary to run again.
It's not even that I'm against Hillary. You know? It's just that I'm a little concerned that she just has too much baggage. You know, there was a poll that I saw somebody else. There was over 1,000 people who voted, and they said, who would you like to see as the Democratic nominee? And Bernie and Hillary were listed. I think Beto was listed, as well as Kamala Harris. I think Beto and Harris got the highest amount. Both Hillary and Bernie got 7%. It was
it's time to move on. It's time to move on. It's time to move on.
Yeah.
And I want some freshness. And I want some... let's work together. I am so sick of being divided. Mm-hmm. I'm so sick of in my mind going, oh my God, are they a Trump supporter? I can't carry on a relationship with that person. I can't start a friendship with that person.
Yeah.
That's just wrong. It's just wrong. You know?
Yeah. I mean, and it's not just about Trump supporters. It's about the Democrats eating their own. You know, that's what we're going to have to worry about.
My assembly district race was between a Bernie-crat and the person that I was supporting, and it got ugly. Mm-hmm. Like the people on Jovanka Beckles, that's the name of the woman who ran for assembly in District California's AD 15, and it was vicious. The stuff that was coming from her side, the lies, mm-hmm. I went to forums. I watched an unprepared candidate talk about really grandiose ideas, but there was no plan of attack. Like, how do you implement? How do you make it happen other than tax the rich? Show me something, mm-hmm. you know? And then it became, well, it was about race. It was about, it was so ugly. And we're all Democrats. Like, we all want the same good stuff for the people of the area, the country, the state, whatever. And it was pretty icky.
Yeah.
It made me feel icky. And I see there's a mentality, I think, among certain Democrats who are, you know, that centrist Democrats are not good. You have to be super duper progressive, and you have to believe in all of these super progressive causes, even if there's no method of implementation on the table. Mm-hmm. And if you don't subscribe to that, then you are the enemy.
Yeah.
And I don't like that.
That's total bullshit. We have to evolve. And it's wonderful that all these Democrats won. And it seemed like, at least to me, that the midterms obviously it's going to be different. I was worried, very worried about Russian interference. There might have mm-hmm. been some, and maybe it was just, you know, hashtags and articles. I don't know.
Right.
It doesn't appear that they were able to. I mean, for all we know, some of these close races that went to Republican could have been altered. But I can't make that claim. I don't know. It doesn't look like we saw any Russian interference with vote counts.
No, so, we have enough American interference
exactly.
with voter suppression and exactly. gerrymandering. That's our biggest enemy.
Right.
Holding back. How many ballots how many applications to vote were suppressed or not processed by Kemp mm-hmm. in Georgia?
Yeah. I don't know the number, but it's a lot.
That's against the law. Look at what's happening in Florida. Our own biggest enemy mm-hmm. here in the United States are other Americans,
yeah,
Republican Americans.
Yeah, I mean, I was watching Ari Melber the other night reporting from Florida, and he was outside talking directly to the camera, and some fucking asshole is just screaming, fake news, fake news, fake news, fake news. And it's like Ari's just, and it just irritated me so much because I couldn't really focus on what Ari was saying. So this person who interrupted the broadcast was successful. Ari was a total professional through the whole thing. He just never let anything, you know, get in his way. He continued to talk, and eventually this person was removed because there was no longer any screaming. But it's like, oh, you know, this country. And so, you know, I mean, I think though, with the 2020 elections, we're going to have to be, as voters, very, very careful. I hope that a lot of people are going to take a little bit more time to consider whatever they say, whether it's in response to someone or, you know, just a straight out statement. I said this on Bob's show the other day, but that, you know, there's that saying, Democrats fall in love, Republicans fall in line. So Democrats need to do a little bit more of falling in line. And I'm going to do my best to not fall in love with a candidate. I can fall in love with their platform. You know, I can really love what they stand for, but they're all human beings. They're all going to make mistakes. I don't want to get so wrapped up emotionally in one person that it becomes this, I think it creates an opportunity, as we saw in 2016, when we have these, you know, divides in our own party. When you become so emotionally invested in somebody, you get really nasty when somebody else criticizes them.
Yes.
And so, it stings and it hurts. It does. It does hurt. It hurt me when Clinton supporters would attack Bernie. And and you know, I mean, I understand where they were coming from, and I'm not criticizing them for how they feel, but I think that what it did to me as a Bernie supporter at that time, it made me like the Clinton camp less.
Because
there was people were condescending on both sides. You know, Bernie people were condescending to Hillary people and vice versa. We have to fucking stop that. We can make our points. We can say, look, I prefer this candidate because A, B, and C, not this whole snotty condescending, you don't know what you're talking about, you're an idiot. We have to stop this. We have to have dialogue that is that's going to move us forward and is going to, I don't know, not muddy the water. You know what I mean? It's like we just cannot allow our own to get so, I don't know, like I'm just basically trying to say Democrats need to stop the shit.
Right. We need to come together. I like to go back to Bill Maher's comment, like Democrats get your shit together. Mm-hmm. If we as a party decide to nominate a monkey with explosive diarrhea in 2020, we're all voting for that candidate.
Yeah, absolutely. I will.
You know,
it's like I said, I don't like Bernie. I don't like the fact that last week he said something about, you know, Democrats not feeling comfortable voting for black people. And I'm like, what the fuck are you saying? He's like, oh, well,
wait a minute. Didn't we elect Obama twice?
Yeah. But he was just basically saying that.
I mean, aren't Stacey Abrams and Andrew Gillum
I think he was specifically
winning governorships.
Yeah. And he was specifically talking about them. And he was. And so he doesn't even realize that what he said was racist. You know, yeah, I mean, everybody could try to explain for him. And then, of course, he backtracked. But it was a stupid thing to say. It's like, if you feel uncomfortable voting for a black person, that's because you're racist.
Right.
It's pretty fucking simple.
Which we found out a lot of people are because, you know, everybody talks about, oh, I'm so progressive. I'm so cool. I'm such an awesome Democrat. Hell yeah. And then you get into the voting booth and you forget. You remember that you're just a racist living in Florida and Georgia, or you're not really as progressive as you say, and you don't vote for Andrew Janz, or you sit your ass on the couch because it's just not that important to you. Boo. Boo.
Well, I think they did come out, and I don't necessarily. Of course, there's going to be some racist people, but as you said, the reason, like with Stacey Abrams and Gillum, I don't think that race held people back from voting for them. I think the problems that we're seeing, Democrats. I don't think Democrats were worried about voting for them. I mean, maybe, but I think the problems are coming from the voter suppression and the gerrymandering.
Yeah, but I think a lot of people like to say, I support the black candidate, and then they get into the voting booth and they remember, no, I don't, I
but,
can't.
But you know what? If they're a Democrat and it's a choice between a Democrat and a Republican, I have a hope.
Hopefully.
Well, I mean, I guess they could vote for nobody, or they could vote for an independent or something like that, but... You know, I don't know what the numbers are. I just think that Bernie could have, I think he could have handled it better. I think that he can handle things better. You know what I mean?
Yes, that's good.
But anyway, so, well, you know, we'll see.
If that didn't kill your sex drive, just kidding. that was my attempt at segueing into Blue Chew.
Yes, Blue Chew.
You ready? You ready to talk about Blue Chew?
I'm totally ready.
Okay, so, you know, this is not something to make light of, you know, as people age, or maybe they're not aging. You know, men are not always on point, so to speak, when they're in the bedroom. Maybe there's something that's holding them back, and maybe they're not always ready to perform.
Mm-hmm. Because it could be stress. It could be being tired,
be
working
anything.
A lot.
Are you always
no.
ready to go?
No.
Okay, thank you. Yeah. Right. So unfortunately, you know, we can put on airs as women, but guys can't. And and if that ever does happen to them, there is this amazing new product called Blue Chew. And it is blue as in the color, and chew as in I got a mouthful of food. BlueChew.com will help you in the moment. You pop it, You chew it and you will be ready to go right then and there.
And isn't that, that's like an upgrade from other.
Well, yeah, you don't have to wait.
Right.
And so it's more of an instantaneous sort of thing. We're just telling you guys, ain't nothing to be ashamed of here.
Yeah. They work twice as fast as a pill.
They do work twice as fast as a pill.
And you can be ready whenever an opportunity arises.
Anytime. And guess what? It also shortens your recovery period if you're ready, if you want to get after again in the same night.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. Wow. Oh, yeah. That's Blue Chew. Go to bluechew.com and enter promo code STARTMEUP. Blue Chew will it ships straight to your door in a discreet package, so you don't have to go to the doctor. You don't have to wait in line at the pharmacy, and it works faster.
And it is FDA approved.
And it's FDA approved. So it's not like somebody just, you know, mixed it up in their bathtub, right? And said, hey, I got a solution for you, fellas. This is the real deal. The FDA says it's okay. Go to bluechew.com, enter promo code STARTMEUP, and just give it a try. And then let us know, you know, send us a message and let us know if you like it. We'd love to anonymously, you know, endorse it for you on the air.
Yeah, because Blue Chew is the better, cheaper, faster choice. And hey, we thank them for sponsoring the show.
Absolutely. We love you, Blue Chew.
Thanks.
All right. So now we're going to be heading off into End Another Thing. And don't forget that I have a writing site that I just started. And you can get to it by visiting, it's another Patreon. So it's patreon.com/KimberlyAJohnson. And you can also support this show at patreon.com/startmeup. And now we're going to go talk some shit on the other side.